States and Ms. Molly LaCour. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Peach. With me is Judge Bartley and Judge Greenberg. We're here today in the matter of Robert W. Jensen versus David J. Shulkin, case number 15-4788. Attorneys, please make your appearances.
Good morning, Your Honors. Sarah Barr for the appellant, Robert Jensen. I'm of the law firm Chisholm, Chisholm & Kilpatrick. And with me at counsel's table is Barbara Cook, also of Chisholm, Chisholm & Kilpatrick.
Good morning, Your Honors. Sarah Ficino on behalf of the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. With me is Deputy Chief Counsel Nicole Collins.
Thank you. Before we begin, the court late Thursday, early Friday, received a the appellant filed a motion, an opposed motion for leave to file a Rule 30B notice of citation to supplemental authority. It is out of time. As you know, the court's rules, Rule 30 states that in no case will supplemental authority, pertinent and significant or otherwise, be accepted by the clerk for filing fewer than 7 days preceding a scheduled oral argument without leave of the court. The court has not ruled yet on this motion. Because the secretary has not had the opportunity to respond, the court will allow the secretary until March 29th to do so. This is 7 working days from today. In the meantime, the court will not entertain any argument or reference to the motion or its content. Okay, each side will have 30 minutes to make their arguments. Counsel for Mr. Jensen, would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 10 minutes, if I may.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, we'll set aside 10 minutes. And whenever you're ready, please.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The Board in this case incorrectly applied the SMC standard for loss of use when it found the veteran not eligible for adapted housing. Adapted housing benefits enable disabled veterans to live comfortably in their homes in a safe way. In contrast, SMC is a type of disability compensation. Congress specifically articulated the definition for loss of use in the adapted housing statute. Because these are two distinct statutory benefits with different purposes, it does not make sense to use the same definition for loss of use.
Before we go any further, I just want to clarify something. The appellant is asking for specially adapted housing?
Eligibility, Your Honor. Eligibility for specially adapted housing.
And what is it that he wants adapted in his house? I mean, wider ramps, wider doors. What is it that he wants?
This particular veteran requires a therapy pool, a heated therapy pool for his back condition, which causes his radiculopathy of the lower extremities. And so he's seeking reimbursement for the therapy pool.
And is that pool that was already his house, or that's outside or inside?
Your Honor, I'm not.
And has it already been installed or not?
It has already been installed. I'm not sure if it's outside or inside. But Your Honor, the main issue in this case is eligibility. So we have to get through the first step of whether he's eligible before we can look at whether the pool is indeed an appropriate accommodation.
One more clarification. You just said that he was seeking eligibility for specially adapted housing. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that he's not seeking eligibility for the special home adaptation, what the SHA versus the SAH?
It's the SAH.
It's the SAH only.
The specially adapted housing.
And not the SHA.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, great.
And just to follow up on the question, in VA's handbook for specially adapted housing, pools and therapy tubs are listed as a type of adapted housing that may be appropriate. Your Honors, the board in this case conceded that the veteran was precluded from locomotion under the meaning of the adapted housing statute. Therefore, the veteran already meets all of the requirements for eligibility for adapted housing. That's why we're requesting the court reverse the board's decision to the contrary regarding eligibility and remand the case with instructions for the board to grant such eligibility. At the very least, remand is required because the SMC definition for loss of use, which the board applied, is not the right standard. The plain language of the statute here is what controls. The adapted housing statute expressly defines loss of use of the lower extremities as preclusion of locomotion without certain assistive devices. Neither the regulation nor the statute for adapted housing state that the veteran must satisfy the SMC requirements for loss of use, nor is the SMC reg referenced in the adaptive housing regulation. And just so your honors are aware, the language is exactly the same for the part we're worried about in the statute and in the regulation. The secretary is suggesting that the such as to language creates two separate requirements, that the veteran first has to have loss of use, and then that loss of use must result in the preclusion of locomotion. But if Congress intended to create two separate requirements like that, it knew how to do so. In the very next subsection, they used the word plus. So this is the section where they required blindness plus loss of use of a lower extremity. Plus or and are words that expressly show two separate requirements. But such as to does not. Such as means something different. It can be used to introduce an example, like in the Mauerhahn context. But it also can mean of the kind that, or of a degree or quality indicated. In other words, in this case, such as to shows the degree of loss of use that is required to be eligible for specially adapted housing. Preclusion of locomotion is what's required to be eligible. This reading is supported by the fact that the Secretary's interpretation of such as to would render the second part of the sentence superfluous. A person who meets the definition of loss of use for SMC purposes is always going to have preclusion of locomotion as that term is defined in the adapted housing regulation. The precludes locomotion part of the sentence would not add any additional requirements if loss of use meant what it means for SMC purposes.
Now, can I just stop you there? I'm curious about your statement that that the second part would be superfluous. So let's just go through what 3 point, because there is a possibility of reading the regulation to make the loss of use. The kind of a severity issue, the severity of the disability, and the to preclude locomotion without the aid of braces, crutches, canes, etc., as the need for assistive devices that would require that something be, that would require that your house be adapted. So, let's just go through what 3.350 requires and then make sure, because I don't know that you necessarily need to read these two as the first. If we define loss or loss of use under 3.350, that the second part of the phrase in 3.809B would be superfluous. So the first step would be what does 3.350 require? How does it define loss or loss of use?
Your Honor, 3.350 defines loss of use as when no effective function, and this is for the foot and the hand, which is the part that the Secretary refers to, when no effective function remains other than that which would be equally well served by an amputation stump at the site of election below the elbow or knee with the use of a suitable prosthetic appliance.
So VA's interpretation here would be, first you would answer one question. Does the veteran have any remaining function, such as balance or propulsion, left that could equally well be accomplished by the use of a prosthetic, amputation and a prosthetic? And then only if you said yes to that would you move on to the second question. The second question being whether such loss of use precludes locomotion without the aid of braces, canes, crutches. So I don't understand why. If the second one is focusing on the without the aid of some kind of assistive device, that and that kind of assistive device would be the kind of thing that would prevent you from getting around in your own home, which has very narrow hallways. You know what I mean? So, and the first part is just getting to the severity of your disability. How are those two kind of, you were saying they were duplicative, or the first one makes the second one superfluous. Just explain to me how that is necessarily so.
Because the requirement, Your Honor, for SMC loss of use is stricter. You need to show more loss of function to meet this SMC definition than you would to just show preclusion of locomotion.
But the second part requires that you use an assistive device such as cane, crutches, wheelchair, et cetera, that goes strictly to, and that's not mentioned in the first part, the first, what you're calling the first step, or I think it's what I call the first step.
Your Honor, I think it's helpful to look at the regulation for adapted housing defines precludes locomotion, and while it does mean regular and constant use of one of those assistive devices, it also adds, although occasional locomotion by other methods may be possible. So just as an example, if a veteran uses a walker and they have regular and constant use of a walker, but they could occasionally move around the house without the walker, so you know, furniture walking, or perhaps they just cross a room without the walker because the walker can be cumbersome, they have effective function remaining beyond what there would be with a prosthetic or an amputation stump, so they wouldn't qualify for SMC. But is this really the kind of veteran that we wouldn't want to give a railing in the shower or a seat in the shower or perhaps even a ramp if they have trouble on stairs? So that's an example of how he's not showing the extreme level of loss of use in the SMC reg, but he should still qualify for adapted housing. And under the precludes locomotion standard, he does. But under the SMC standard, he doesn't.
Right. Well, I agree with you, but that's very different from saying that using the 3.350 definition for the loss of use would make the second part of the 3.809 be standard superfluous.
But, Your Honor, a veteran wouldn't qualify for SMC without also having preclusion of locomotion as that term is defined in the adapted housing regulation.
Well, but there is that part that says without the aid of crutches or some kind of aid assistive device, which is not in the first part.
Yes, that's true. But because to qualify for SMC, you have to have no remaining function except that which would be equal to an amputation stump or prosthetic, that's the same thing as a veteran who uses one of those types of devices as a necessary means of locomotion. So it is different. It is different from no remaining effective function. You don't have to have no remaining effective function to qualify for adapted housing. that you do for SMC, or that which would be equal to amputation step or prosthetic. So it is a stricter requirement for SMC. It's harder to meet that SMC definition of loss of use.
Okay, I understand where you're going.
So, Your Honor, in order to really give meaning to that second part of the sentence, we have to read the degree of loss of use as preclusion of locomotion. And this makes sense. It makes sense to have differing levels of loss of use depending on what the benefit is that the veteran is trying to obtain. So a person who is disabled enough to require adapted housing might not have the extreme level of disability that's required for SMC. It makes sense to require a different degree of loss of use because we're compensating a different type of, so for SMC we're compensating the level of disability, but for adapted housing we're not compensating anything, we're providing a benefit that the veteran needs functionally. So it doesn't make sense to hold those two veterans to the same standard. There's a spectrum of levels of loss of use, which varies based on the type of benefit being sought and the body parts that are impacted. The plain language of the regulations makes that clear, and the Secretary is trying to impose a one-size-fits-all definition for loss of use. The plain language of the regulation is also supported by the context of the regulatory scheme. So 3.810, the very next regulation after 3.809, references the SMC regulation in terms of loss of use. So VA knew how to cross-reference to the SMC regulation when it wanted to. Other subsections of the Adapted Housing Regulation also use language similar to SMC, so the balance and propulsion type of language. That's numbers three and four in the regulation. But number one does not use any such similar language. 4.63 also defines loss of use. It specifically says for purposes of SMC, and then gives the same definition that's in the SMC reg. It's just unclear why VA wouldn't have gone in and defined loss of use that way for all of Title 38, or every time that loss of use is used, if they intended for loss of use to have one definition every time it was used, no matter which chapter it was in. And finally, VA enacted the Adapted Housing Regulation and the SMC regulation on the same day. They could have easily indicated that this SMC definition for loss of use was the definition they were using for adapted housing, and they chose not to do that.
Let me ask a question. For specially adapted housing, the loss of use of both lower extremities, such as to preclude locomotion without the aid of a cane in this case, if the veteran if it did not affect his legs, would he qualify for special adapted housing under the preclusion of locomotion standard if it affected his arms instead?
No, Your Honor. We agree that loss of use of the lower extremities is required. Mm-hmm. Our position is just that loss of use is defined by showing preclusion of locomotion. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the lower extremities certainly need to be impacted.
And then let me ask a follow-on question. In the statute, it talks about in acquiring such adaptation to a veteran's residence as are determined by the Secretary to be reasonably necessary because of such disability. So what is the disability that is connected to the therapeutic pool?
The back disability, Your Honor, which causes the radiculopathy in the lower extremities.
Which causes him to use a cane, which causes him preclusion of locomotion.
Correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honors, even if you find that the plain language does not control here, we should not defer to the Secretary's interpretation. For the reasons I said already, that it would render the second part of the sentence superfluous, because when we look at other texts in the regulations and statutes, we see that where VA intended to incorporate and cross-reference the SMC regulation, they knew how to do so, and they did not do so here. Because the purposes of these statutes are very different. The benefit that we're trying to afford the veteran is completely different than an SMC compensation, and we should not use the same definition of loss of use because of the differences in these types of benefits. And also because the Secretary's interpretation is unfavorable to veterans, and there's a more liberal construction available in the plain language, which we put forth today. And that construction affords a harmonious interplay between the provisions of the statutes and regulations. So under Trafter, we're asking the court to resolve the interpretive doubt in the veteran's favor. Your Honors, the board applied the wrong standard of loss of use. The SMC definition of loss of use is not the right standard here. The board found that the veteran is precluded from locomotion within the meaning of the specially adapted housing statute. So the veteran already meets all the requirements to be eligible for specially adapted housing. The board seeks to impose a higher standard on the veteran than that contained in the language of the statute. Deference should not be afforded to the Secretary's position because it's unreasonable and impermissible under law. We're requesting the court to reverse the board's finding that the veteran is not eligible for specially adapted housing and remand the case for the board to grant such eligibility. At the very least, remand is required because the SMC standard is too high, it's too onerous, and it's not the correct standard. If the court finds that remand is the correct remedy, we ask the court to remand with an instruction for the board to readjudicate the case under the correct standard, which is not the standard for SMC. Thank you.
May it please the court, Your Honors. The court should affirm the board's decision of October 22, 2015, which denied entitlement to specially adapted housing because appellant did not demonstrate loss or loss of use of both lower extremities for the following three reasons. First, the language of the statute 38 U.S.C. 2101 plainly and clearly requires loss or loss of use of both lower extremities and preclusion of locomotion in order to establish eligibility for specially adapted housing. Second, as further proof that both loss of use and preclusion of locomotion are required, we can look to legislative history, which demonstrates that Congress intended for both of these components to be satisfied. Because this benefit is only meant for veterans with a distinct requirement for specially adapted housing. And finally, since Congress did not explicitly define the term loss of use, VA's definition, which is both consistent with the statute and a common understanding or meaning of the terms, should be afforded substantial deference. Your Honors, in 38 U.S.C. 2101, in order to receive entitlement to specially adapted housing, a veteran must first be entitled to compensation under Chapter 11 for a permanent and total service-connected disability. After that, they must satisfy one of the criteria in the statute. The one at issue here today states that the disability must be due to the loss or loss of use of both lower extremities, such as to preclude locomotion without the aid of braces, crutches, canes, or a wheelchair. And Your Honors, the cardinal rule of statutory interpretation is that we must start with the language and that it has to be read as a whole because the meaning depends on the context within which it's used. And if we read this criteria as a whole, it is evident that the common understanding of this sentence would mean that it must we must have loss or loss of use of both lower extremities that results in or that causes preclusion of locomotion without the aid of the specified assistive devices. Appellant's interpretation here would actually render part of the statute superfluous, because if preclusion of locomotion is all that's required, then we don't need to satisfy the loss or loss of use. And Congress would have just given the benefit to all veterans that have their locomotion precluded without the aid of certain assistive devices. But that is not what Congress did here. Congress explicitly required there to be loss or loss of use of both lower extremities that causes preclusion of locomotion. Because, again, Congress wanted this benefit only for a distinct group of veterans who need specially adapted housing.
Let me interrupt here. The board found that the veteran was precluded from locomotion. And what was the basis for that?
Your Honor, the board did make a finding that appellant was precluded from locomotion because he uses a cane. Here we would also point out that the statute actually says canes plural and appellant only uses a cane singular. However, that is a favorable finding, and so we're not going to touch the board's finding that his locomotion was precluded. But again, we have to have both components, the loss of use of both lower extremities and the preclusion of locomotion before eligibility is established. And additionally here, Your Honor, appellant has demonstrated that he does have many functions remaining of both of his lower extremities, such as the ability to walk 50 feet up 12 stairs, go from sitting to standing without any assistance, bending down to pick things up from the ground. His muscle tone was normal. There was no atrophy. He doesn't have complete paralysis, etc. So all of these were considered by the board in finding that he doesn't have loss of use of both lower extremities.
Well, what does the Secretary mean by preclusion, or what did Congress mean by preclusion of locomotion? I think of Franklin D. Roosevelt or Senator Duckworth as examples.
Certainly, Your Honor. And
does preclusion mean preclusion, period? It sounds to me like there's some sort of dilution of that fairly emphatic concept acceptable to the Secretary. Is that so?
We agree, Your Honor, that the statute seems to indicate that it's preclusion without the aid of these assistive devices, period. The Secretary, in his regulation, has further interpreted that term to mean that you need to use these assistive devices regularly and constantly, although, for example, if a veteran sometimes uses a single cane but then uses a wheelchair on the regular and constant basis but occasionally uses a cane, we wouldn't deny the benefit to that veteran simply because they occasionally use a different assistive device or can go from their bed to the bathroom without the assistive device. But it's still the requirement for the regular and constant use of such assistive devices as a normal mode of locomotion. And, Your Honor,
so what happened here?
Well, here, Your Honor, appellant uses a single cane for gait instability. And, Your Honor, if I can...
Go ahead.
Since we're discussing legislative history, we can look to legislative history to further underscore the Secretary's point here, which is that Congress's intent was to only assist veterans whose disabilities were such that they could not accommodate themselves in a housing unit without extensive alterations or a special type of construction at the outset. They did not mean for this benefit to go to all veterans, including veterans who might have a severe disability, but that disability is not of such a nature that would prevent them from living in an ordinary type of home. And if we look at the first time Congress passed this law in 1948, so Public Law 80-702, Congress actually had previously considered more broad versions, such as giving it to veterans, all veterans with loss of use, or even all veterans who use wheelchairs. But they actually passed a much more narrow version and limited it to veterans with spinal cord disease or paralysis of the lower part of the body. And the important legislative history comes 1 year later in Public Law 81-286. So in 1949, Congress actually liberalized this law, and they expanded it to cover loss or loss of use of both lower extremities resulting from amputation, ankylosis, progressive muscular dystrophies, or paralysis of both lower extremities, such as to preclude locomotion without the aid of braces, crutches, canes, or a wheelchair. So here we have the first time Congress is using the loss of use terminology and the preclusion of locomotion terminology. And if we look at the committee report here, so that's House Report 81-1309, Congress specifically stated that they believed the classifications of loss of use, so here we're talking about the amputation, ankylosis, et cetera, along with other provisions, which they meant to refer to the, such as to preclude locomotion, these two separate components together were sufficient to ensure that this benefit only went to meritorious situations. Because even though Congress was liberalizing this law to cover more veterans who need specially adapted housing, they still did not want to throw this program open to all veterans who can get along comfortably in a home, an ordinary home, without adaptation.
Yeah, but that sounds like what the Secretary has done with this more liberal interpretation of the statute.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the only...
Can this veteran get around without the use of at least two canes? Sounds like he can.
Correct.
So what are the, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it sounds like a liberalization by the Secretary of what Congress had emphatically stated and what you just very efficiently cited was the legislative intent of Congress. So what are we to do?
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, we do not believe that the Secretary has liberalized this law to do away with the loss of use requirement. And indeed, the regulation specifically still has that same language that requires the loss of use of both lower extremities, such well, as what, to preclude.
Yeah, what about Mr. Jensen's counsel's indication that 3.810, the clothing allowance, actually refers to 3.350, and this doesn't. This doesn't lead us back to, the 809 provisions don't lead us back to 3.350, at least not explicitly.
Certainly, Your Honor, and we acknowledge that there is no explicit reference. However, perhaps the Secretary did not deem that necessary because there are many other clues as to why the loss of use definition in 3.350 should apply to 3.809. And if you'll indulge me, I'll go over those reasons, the first being the statute itself. So if we look at Chapter 21 benefits in the statute, they're specifically premised on, first, the veteran must be entitled to compensation under Chapter 11, which is where the special monthly compensation statute is contained. So the prerequisite to benefits in Chapter 21 is first establishing entitlement in Chapter 11, and that supports having a consistent and common definition of the terms. And we would also point out that actually in Chapter 11, the special monthly compensation statute is the only portion of Chapter 11 that also contains the loss of use of the lower extremities language. So this further supports that having this consistent definition was anticipated by Congress when they deemed the two sections to have significant interplay. And also, Your Honor, we would point out that there is a cardinal rule of statutory and regulatory interpretation that the same terms in the same act should have the same meaning. And here we have in 1957 and 58, Congress consolidating all of VA's laws into one act, and at the time we already had the specially adapted housing and the special monthly compensation statutes, and both of those laws already had the loss of use language, and yet Congress putting them in the same act meant for them to have the same meaning because they didn't indicate otherwise. And similarly, when VA consolidated all of its laws in 1961 into Part 3. We also already had the special monthly compensation regulation and the specially adopted housing regulation. And at the time, we already had the same loss of use definition in special monthly compensation as we have today. And again, in putting them into the same part, VA never promulgated a different understanding, so we should abide by the construction that the same terms should have the same meaning.
So we interrupted you before. You were talking about Public Law 8702, and then you went on to 81286. And did you have any further? Because hasn't it changed since then?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt? Oh.
No.
Absolutely. It has changed since then, and we have two additional points to make, and the first being another indication that Congress viewed these to be two separate components is we can look to the next liberalization, which occurred in 1959 in Public Law 86-239, where Congress expanded this benefit to veterans with blindness and the loss of use of one lower extremity, such as to preclude locomotion without the aid of a wheelchair. But, interestingly enough, 5 years later, in Public Law 88-401, Congress deleted the wheelchair requirement, the preclusion of locomotion language, yet kept the loss of use language in there, again indicating that they understood these to be two separate components, that both must be satisfied in order to establish eligibility in the criteria that we're talking about today. And, Your Honor, again, Congress has liberalized this statute and changed this statute countless times, I believe well over a dozen times, since VA first promulgated its definition of loss of use. But Congress has never defined loss of use differently than how VA has, thereby indicating, again, that VA's definition of loss of use should control here.
What would a veteran need to do to show loss of use?
The veteran would need to show loss of use of both lower extremities to the extent that's contemplated by special monthly compensation, and that is that no effective function remains of the lower extremities, such as that would not be equally well served by prosthesis. And the examples given in special monthly compensation are ankylosis or paralysis. And the veteran would have to satisfy that standard, which the veteran has not here. And we would also, again, note that VA's definition of loss of use as having no effective function remaining is still consistent with a common understanding of the term loss of use, which is that there's no use, that the lower extremities lack use.
But if that was the case, then they wouldn't have made a special definition made the definition in special compensation. The statute 2101, three parts to it. The first part deals with the acquisition of housing with special features. Part B, little b, deals with the adaptation to residents of veterans. And C says regulations. Assistance under this section shall be provided in accordance with such regulations as the Secretary may prescribe. And then you've prescribed 3.809. So how do you jump to 3.350 on special monthly compensation when the law that you're implementing under the regulation deals with adapting housing?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We agree that they are two different sections. However, as we discussed a little bit previously, there are numerous reasons why that definition is the same and constant definition that VA applies to all instances of the understanding of the terms loss of use in its laws. And again, that's because the Congress specifically mandated that Chapter 11 be the prerequisite to Chapter 21. So there is significant interplay between these two benefits, despite them being in different sections. And also having the same terms mean the same terms in the same act having the same meaning is also consistent with statutory interpretation. And, Your Honor, we would also point out at this time that there is a general counsel opinion from 1989 that is 4-89, and that is a conclusive opinion issued by the general counsel's office in which the general counsel at the time, Donald Ivers, specifically stated that the loss of use in 3.809 is to the same degree as the loss of use definition in 3.350. And using the same tools that we were talking about earlier, which is the statute itself and legislative history, to clue into the fact that the two terms have the same consistent definition. And this shows that VA's application of the loss of use definition in 3.350 to 3.809 has been consistent since at least 1989.
Now, in a prior version, I forget at what period of time, 2101 actually included mention of ankylosis and paralysis as examples of loss of use, mm-hmm. as loss of use. And when was that removed, and why did they remove it?
So, Your Honor, they added that in 1949, and it was 10 years later that they just changed the terms to loss of use of both lower extremities, and that's because Congress believed there were certain veterans that were still being left out if they explicitly limited it to amputation, ankylosis, et cetera. And one of the examples they gave was veterans with significant peripheral vascular or neuropathy issues that caused essentially paralysis, but not complete paralysis. So Congress made the decision to change the terms to loss of use of both lower extremities, but importantly, that's still a requirement, and that loss of use of both lower extremities must be present, and that it must cause preclusion of locomotion in order to receive this benefit.
Okay, I'm going to focus again on what I tried to focus on with Mr. Jensen's counsel. Why do you keep focusing on the preclusion of locomotion? I mean, isn't this especially adapted housing? Isn't the important part of that phrase requiring the use of a wheelchair, cane, or crutches? I mean, if you just preclude it from locomotion, why do you need specially adapted housing? It's your use of these devices that makes your current house with its narrow hallways so incompatible with your disability.
Absolutely. We agree, Your Honor, and I apologize if I just was saying preclusion of locomotion shorthand, but you should read it as a whole, which is preclusion of locomotion without the assistance of these specific devices, so the wheelchair, braces, canes, et cetera. And that is an important inquiry, and that is how Congress decided to make it so that this benefit only went to veterans who showed this distinct need for a specially adapted home.
The board concluded that entitlement to specially adapted housing is denied because a qualifying disability is not shown. What counsel for the appellant said that he needed a spa, hot tub, because of his back, which was because of his legs, his radiculopathy. How do you respond to that?
Well, Your Honor, we are certainly sympathetic to appellant's wants, but specially adapted housing, again, is a distinct benefit that Congress carved out for a special group of veterans, and appellant here has not demonstrated loss of use of both lower extremities, which is explicitly required by statute and by Congress in order to receive this benefit, and that's why he does not have a qualifying disability to establish eligibility.
But I'm confused because the board found he was precluded from locomotion. And how did that happen?
Your Honor, we would note that the statute mandates the use of canes, plural, and appellant uses a cane singular here for gate instability. So there is some question as to whether or not preclusion of locomotion without the assistance of canes, plural, would have been satisfied. But again, that's the board just found that because he uses a cane, that it satisfied preclusion of locomotion. So we're not going to touch, we can't touch that favorable finding. But since the requirement is you have to have both of these components, so you have to have loss of use of both lower extremities, and that loss has to cause preclusion of locomotion without the assistance of certain assistive devices. And since he does not satisfy the loss of use, it doesn't matter that he was found to have preclusion of locomotion because both components have to be satisfied in order to receive this benefit.
Then it would be better for the your regulation or to read, disability must be due to loss of use of both extremities and preclusion of locomotion. That's how you read it. That's how it would. That's how you're interpreting it.
Perhaps, Your Honor, that would be clear, but again, we would posit that if you read that sentence and that criteria as a whole, the such as to is akin to requiring the first part to result in the second part, so loss of use resulting in or causing preclusion of locomotion without the aid of assistive devices. If there are no...
Let me just ask you another question that I had asked Mr. Jensen's counsel, and that is, the board went through the same analysis to deny eligibility for SHA and SAH, and Mr. Jensen's counsel, and I didn't really press her on this, explained that he's really only seeking eligibility for SAH. And you just basically argue for an affirmance of the board decision. Did the board correctly analyze entitlement to SHA?
Yes, Your Honor. The difference.
I'm sorry, to SAH, not SHA.
The difference is that, so 2101A addresses SAH, and that is meant for mobility purposes, so veterans who have mobility issues that result in the preclusion of locomotion without the use of the assistive devices that then necessitates the home adaptation, while 2101B, which is SHA, is actually for veterans with loss of use of the hands and blindness. So it's a different subset of veterans, and my understanding from congressional reports is that the limit of the grant on the first one, so SAH, is higher than the one on the second. So that's kind of the only difference between these two sections. And the board did correctly analyze appellant's case under SAH 2101A because the question is mobility.
But as to, let's see. Let's look at the regs instead of the statute. Because in this case, that might prove to be a little bit easier. 3.809 is specially adapted housing, which is SAH. And 3.809A, small a, is special home adaptation grants. That's the smaller of the two, and that only allows you 13,000, but possibly multiple times, I think. Let's look at the requirements for under 3.809A for special home adaptation grants, which you said the board correctly analyzed.
Under
3.809 small a.
Okay.
So under B1, can you just clarify what kinds of disabilities are meant to be eligible for this
Sure.
benefit?
Yes, Your Honor. It's for the loss of use of the hands, and also if we look further down, it covers veterans who might need a home adaptation because they've suffered severe burns, so maybe their home needs to be at a specific temperature or certain modifications to the home to accommodate their burns, and also to veterans who suffer blindness in both eyes. So there's no part of this that discusses the lower extremities and mobility. And, Your Honor, to the extent the board referenced the SHA grant, it was only to indicate that appellant also didn't satisfy this, that there's no evidence that he has burns, that he's blind, that he has suffered loss of use of the upper extremities, so that the proper analysis here is under SHA, so 2101 that, and
SAH.
SAH, not SHA.
Maybe we shouldn't use the acronym.
Probably not.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And
that's fine.
That's not, yeah. No one has challenged also the board's decision to analyze appellant's disability under the mobility grant. Your Honors, if there are no further questions, the Secretary asks the court to affirm the board's October 22, 2015 decision because the plain language of the statute, the legislative history, and VA's interpretations and definitions, along with the evidence of record, all support the board's denial of specially adapted housing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I'd like to address what Judge Bartley was discussing as far as us referring to it just as preclusion of locomotion and not referring to the assistive devices. So it's not just hallways and ramps and handrails in the shower that can be adaptive housing. Adaptive housing covers more than that. It's something that can help the veteran to use his home, to move around in his home. The Secretary agrees with us that the therapy pool is an example of the type of adaptation that might be needed to help a veteran achieve this. He can't use his house because of his radiculopathy without treatment in this therapy pool. He also has constant use of a cane. He meets that criteria of using the assistive device regularly and constantly. So, and the board has already agreed that he meets that as well. Preclusion of locomotion under this regulation is not complete and total loss of use the way it's defined in SMC. It has to do with problems with the veteran's ambulation, locomotion, moving around. This veteran has those problems. He has constant use of the cane. He's exactly the kind of person that should qualify for adapted housing and who Congress intended to qualify. And the board already found that he met the preclusion of locomotion part of the statute because he has the constant use of the cane for radiculopathy. The Secretary claims that the part of the regulation we're looking at requires two separate things, loss of use and then the preclusion of locomotion. But it just doesn't. It doesn't say and. It doesn't say plus. It says such as to. And under the dictionary definition of that term, that does not add an additional requirement onto the sentence.
The definition of such as?
Such as, Your Honor.
And what about the citation of some legislative history that appears to treat these as distinct requirements? What's your response to that? The first and second part of the language in 803809 or 2101. You know, the loss of use part, the loss of use part, and then the such as part.
Your Honor, we would disagree that the legislative history treats it that way. The Secretary's interpretation is that. But the legislative history, each time Congress has gone in and amended this statute, they've made eligibility for adapted housing more inclusive. They could have gone in any of those times and changed the language in number one to make it more clear that they were requiring a strict reading of loss of use to be the same definition as in the SMC regulation. But they specifically didn't do that. The purposes of the statutes are different, and the legislative history makes that clear. Congress put the in the plain language of the statute, Congress incorporated the definition of loss of use that it intended to use, and it did not reference the SMC definition. The legislative history also makes clear that this benefit is only meant for veterans who need certain adaptive housing in order to move about their homes. But again, the pool is an example of this. He needs that pool in order to move about his home and remain mobile. He also requires constant use of a cane. Thus, he meets the eligibility requirements. Now, there's further determinations that will have to be done down the road after he's found eligible about what he can actually be reimbursed for, how much he can be reimbursed for. But the only issue the board was deciding was whether he's eligible under the statute. And under the plain language of the statute, he is. For those reasons, Your Honors, we ask the court to reverse the board's negative eligibility finding and remand the case for instructions for the board to grant such eligibility. But at the very least, if remand is the appropriate remedy, we'd ask the court to remand with instructions for the board to re-adjudicate the case under the correct standard, which is not the SMC definition, as is seen in the plain language of the statute and the regulation.
Any questions? Judge Greenberg, any more questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case will be submitted for a decision. This court is now adjourned, and we'll come down and greet counsel.